They're the kind of bonds that show up in the movie Gone with the Wind, for example, where Gerald O'Hara comes home and he pulls all his bonds out of his desk. He's invested his money in the future of the Confederacy, he says. That's what other people were doing. They're counting on the Confederacy's success, and they're showing their belief in the ability of the South to win by investing their money in the national war effort. So there you have loans, taxation, loans. The third way to get money was simply to print it, to print treasury notes, to print paper money. And paper money brought in the remaining 60% or so of the funds that the Confederacy needed, and this proved to be an absolute disaster. Inflation soared as the government printed more and more and more paper money, and as goods at the same time became scarcer because the Union blockade became more effective, and because Union armies penetrated deeper and deeper into the Confederacy and caused greater and greater dislocation, not only of the Confederate economy, but more especially of the transportation network that could deliver goods from one part of the Confederacy to another. So you have these two factors working at the same time in deadly combination: an abundance of paper money and a shortage of goods, and the result is awful inflation. Inflation soared all across the Confederacy. By 1864, it took $46 to buy what $1 had bought in 1861 of many kinds of goods. And by the end of the war, the ratio was $92 to buy what $1 had bought back at the beginning of the war. A combination of factors, the blockade, the Northern military, and the failure of Europe to recognize the Confederacy. Had Europe recognized the Confederacy, there might have been a number of other options that would have helped the South. A key one would have been the Royal Navy helping to break the blockade, which would have eased the scarcities at least a bit. But these factors came together to produce financial disarray in the South. All of those are factors, but the most important one is simply the nature of the Southern economy. This economy, so overwhelmingly agricultural, so much wealth tied up in slaves and in land. That kind of an economy was simply not up to paying for an expensive and prolonged modern war. Let's move to the North now. It's a very different picture in the North. The North had a much easier time of coming up with the money necessary to fight its war. Just as the South did, the North used a variety of measures to finance its war effort. Now, at the beginning, there's no national financial structure as we would understand it now. In the North, there were more than 7,000 types of banknotes circulating in the North. Local banks would issue their own paper notes, state banks would issue their paper notes, and those notes might only be good in a fairly small range from the bank that issued them. You couldn't get a note from your bank in Ohio that would be accepted by a merchant in New York City, necessarily. It was a very chaotic system in the North at the beginning of the war. Federal budgets in the 1850s had averaged about 2% of the gross national product. During the war, that percentage would shoot up to 15% of the gross national product, a huge increase that showed the magnitude of the problem that Lincoln and his advisors had to deal with. Well, the North used the same three methods of raising money that the Confederacy used, but they used them in different combinations, different proportions, and they didn't have the same problems that plagued the Confederacy. Let's start with war bonds in the North. The North sold a variety of war bonds. The most common one was called a 5/20 bond. It paid 6% interest, and it was redeemable in not less than 5 and not more than 20 years. The North pursued the novel idea of having the people buy government bonds rather than having banks buy them. Really the ancestor, if you will, of the practice during World War I and World War II in the United States of having these huge bond drives where individual citizens purchased bonds came from this Union effort in the Civil War. Jay Cook, a prominent banker from Philadelphia, was the prime mover behind pushing these war bonds in the North. His banking house became very successful during the war. He became one of the most powerful financial figures in the United States.